I'm Spawn Counter Guy. Thanks for coming by. Welcome to another episode of Trying to Hurt Cats, the podcast where we throw anonymous quotes at anonymous people and see what shakes out. And if you're curious about the source of the quotes, I will reveal those at the end of the broadcast. First quote, to pursue something you don't have can bring excitement, but to get rid of something you've acquired can bring peace.
Now, there would be a lot of guys that could answer that in a way that I wouldn't, because I've still got mine, and I'm talking about my wife. You know, it was excitement when to acquire her. Uh-huh.
But, is she still excitement, or would it bring you peace to get rid of her?
No. I'd be very unpeaceful.
Okay.
But I can remember some automobiles, some vehicles that I'd bought, and I was excited about it when I seen them. I was at peace when I got
rid of them.
Rid of them, yeah.
Again, to pursue something you don't have can bring excitement, but to get rid of something you've acquired can bring peace.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that just, they have to go out and buy something. There's like girls, they have to go out to the mall and buy clothes and shoes and stuff. I guess that'd be the same thing with books. I'm eventually going to read these books.
So you say.
So I say.
When you buy a book, are you happy?
Yeah, I get a little bit of a high out of it. I'll order something online, it comes in, and it's like, wow, you know.
When you see these books staring at you that you haven't read, does it bum you out?
Yeah.
We're on to something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially like the book you just recommended, the Mao book that's 10,000 pages long. I thought it was just going to be like half of that. I didn't even look online to see how big it was, and I got it, and I was like, crap.
So if I take that out of here, you'll bring you some peace?
No, because I want to read it.
Again, to pursue something you don't have can bring excitement, but to get rid of something you've acquired can bring peace.
Oh, amen. I love that.
Okay.
From the time I was 18, first moving away from home, I moved on a regular basis. And when you move on a regular basis, you purge. You acquire stuff, you purge. You acquire, you purge. Well, in college, you know how college is. Sometimes you move 5 times in 1 year. Yeah. You know, I rented rooms in fraternity houses over the summer, and then I would find a new place, and I moved to my brother's apartment for a month while he was out of town. Then I'd come back, and I was traveling between different cities, and constantly, it was just whatever I could fit in my car. Plus, I was, you know, making art, so it wasn't just that I had clothes and records and furniture, but I had this collection of art that I would have to constantly sift through.
Mm.
You become a good editor
when
you have to move your stuff. And not just, you know, in the accumulation, but like what's actually important, what is worth moving. Mm. And I would find that I would do two sorts. One, getting it into whatever vehicle, you know, you're putting stuff away and you go, I don't want to move this. First load of trash or Goodwill or to friends. Or
even your art?
Sometimes even the art.
Yeah.
Yes, but if it was too big.
Yeah. Remember I helped you move once and I came away with a piece of art of yours.
Yeah, I think everybody who's ever helped me move, okay. There's been tons of times, somebody will end up with, I don't know where any of my work is.
Yeah. Well, sometimes with people, I've heard people just describe their art or their music or their books like children, and they can't wait to when it's finally born and they're proud to show it off.
Right.
Some of your artwork that you gave away, did that give you some pain, or were they kind of like the bad kid? You're just like, oh, glad they're out of the house.
No, I never gave anything away that I wasn't ready to part with. But not because it was a bad kid, but because I knew it was going to give somebody else joy.
Very quickly, is there something that you held on to that was actually bringing misery, you think?
Besides my first marriage.
Oh.
Something.
Talk about your husband like he's a tumor or something.
Something? No. Some relationships? Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I've gotten much better at being able to recognize the toxic relationships and either cutting them out completely or keeping them at a place where they do not do me harm.
Mm-hmm. again. To pursue something you don't have can bring excitement, but to get rid of something you've acquired can bring peace.
When's the last time that you pursued something that brought you excitement?
Well, I can't right now. I can't think. I guess it's my dryer.
You pursued a new dryer. And did that bring you excitement?
I thought I'd be happy, but it's not working like I thought it should, as much as I paid for it. So they're supposed to. I won't take anything if it doesn't work. I mean, I'm going to do something about it.
Right. So it might bring you peace to get rid of it?
To get another one or get it fixed or have to take it back and get another one someplace else, whatever I have to do. I mean, I don't like to. I feel like I shouldn't be taking advantage of because my money isn't easy to come by. $1.25 more a month.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
But you said the dryer man's coming out here Monday.
Yes,
right?
Technician.
Okay. So hopefully he'll bring you peace.
Hopefully he will.
You've gotten rid of a few things, haven't you?
Yes.
Did it bring you peace?
Well, not necessarily. Well, I guess, yes, you call it peace. I just take for granted that's the way things are, you know. Right. It's gonna make somebody happy.
It gives you more room to walk around here. I'm serious. It's a little easier to get around. No offense.
You mean there's more room in here than it had been?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same furniture.
I know, but it seems like it's less
cluttered.
Yeah. I haven't tripped and fallen this time.
Oh. Another thing is the hardwood floors instead of the rug.
That's nice, yeah.
But there's always dirt and stuff collected in the rugs that have been down for 25 years. There's bound to be a little collection in there. So.
I bet, yeah. I miss the dirt.
You miss the dirt?
I was friends with that dirt.
I'm sorry.
Where can I visit the dirt? Where is it now?
Oh, where did the dirt go? Some guy came and picked it up and took it out. He has some trailers and everything, people leaving. I guess they're leaving in the dirt.
Oh, now it's their house. If I get nostalgic, we'll go over there.
Okay.
Next quote, you can accomplish much if you don't care who gets the credit.
Me personally, I cannot do it like that because I'm a director and I have about 150 people working for me, and I will take the credit as a team effort, but if there are individuals that have really excelled and really contributed, I will identify those people and make sure that everybody else knows that they've done a really good job. Because what I think is that when people are working for you and they are happy with you, they get positive strokes, they feel as though they've been heard, they've been valued, whatever they're doing, you appreciate what they're doing, you're not hiding it, you get much better work out of them.
So you're thinking in terms of others making sure that they get the credit they deserve.
Yeah.
Now what about for yourself?
I think, me personally, I'm not a showy type person. So I'll do work and I expect people to recognize it. And generally it's quite good and they do recognize it. And that's the reason why I'm in the position I am today. But a lot of the time now with the level that I'm at, people don't recognize it. I don't know if it's kind of plateaued out or...
Like you've reached your peak and you're on the down?
I've just reached something that, you know, people just say, okay, well, we expect that of you. I think it's more to do with expectation.
You're a victim of your success.
Yeah, where it doesn't really matter what I do.
Yeah.
They just say, oh, we expect you to do that, so carry on doing what you're doing. And then I start thinking, I don't really like this. And then the level at which I operate, I get this other corporate thing, which is, you know, that you can't get a promotion because, you know, we haven't made this enough money this year. Uh-huh. You get all of those sorts of arguments coming in more when you're at the higher level. They just expect you to kind of do more for free. However, money isn't everything, and I want to get this on here because I always say that in my situation, sometimes experience is the currency. So it doesn't always have to be money. It can be what you learn. And that's what I've found in my life quite a lot. That's one thing. And also, if the organization you're working for values you, they'll show it to you in other ways. So it doesn't necessarily need to be money. I had an operation, spine surgery, and afterwards I just needed to be left alone. I needed to be able to convalesce. I needed to be able to recover. I didn't want anybody to hassle me. I wanted to be able to get back to work when I could get. Obviously, I had a time frame, but my company, the company I worked for, were very, 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 very good. And I still have to go back to my surgeon. And if I say I have to do that, they will not bother me. When they wanted me to travel internationally, I couldn't travel because I needed to be out of the surgery for 1 year before traveling. They said fine.
Do you think they do that across the board, or they do it to the ones they really like, so to speak, or the ones they value?
They do it to the ones they value.
So the ones, say you were like a shoddy worker, you're subpar, and you had the same situation. Do you think they're like, meh?
Well, the company I work for, I wouldn't exactly say that because they don't look at shoddy worker like that. They say to themselves, that worker, they might not be operating at 100%, but they might be operating 30%. We still value that 30%, and we can try and see if we can get them to do other things. And it's very expensive to pay money for recruitment. So they don't really want to.
They try to work with what they have.
Yeah, they try and work with what they have.
No matter how bad it is.
pretty much. That's what I've noticed. Yeah.
Again, you can accomplish much if you don't care who gets the credit.
If you're doing what you are doing for gain, or for notoriety, or to be noticed. That in itself, if it's not sin, it's awful close to it. And I would say it's just a wrong attitude and wrong example, surely, to set if we're doing it for that reason.
Again, you can accomplish much if you don't care who gets the credit.
Like, I don't like getting credit for things that I didn't do. You know, I feel bad about that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant like if something went wrong.
Well, yeah. No, I'm willing to, you know, admit that when I messed up. There was a big project, lasted a couple of weeks, and it had to do with upgrading the computers. Mm-hmm. And the day of the upgrade, they had me like just monitors. Just, I can't even remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was literally like 10, 15 minutes of me doing something. And all these other people had spent weeks getting this together and stuff. And my boss, who was a civilian, was wanting to give me this accommodation, this letter to put into my file saying that I had helped with this project. And I didn't feel that I had really done anything, and I just didn't feel I deserved it.
Right. But credit doesn't really motivate you one way or the other.
But when I was working at a... You know, when I told you about we swapped over those computer systems... Mm-hmm. We had a lot of other sister companies that were doing the same thing. They had different systems. And ours was the only one that went, like, perfect, you know. And I spent a lot of time...
Making sure it was right.
Making sure it ran right, and it did. Uh-huh. And I felt like I deserved credit for that because, you know, I gave...
Did you get credit?
Yeah, I got a $10,000 bonus.
Whoa! Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So sometimes it does help to get credit, I guess, yeah.
Again, you can accomplish much if you don't care who gets the credit.
But if you do very much and you work hard, you'd like to get a little credit for it.
Right. Have you ever had a situation where you, maybe someone didn't know you did something and you made sure they did know?
Well, one thing I can think of right now, during Cow Days, which is a county or city celebration here, and we had a quilt show, and I was in charge of it. And then here all of a sudden this last year, the county president, I mean the club president, put this other person in charge of it, and I felt like I had done it for years, and I still had my papers, and I knew all about it. I thought, well, just let her have it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had done my part, but I felt like this lady that did it didn't know or appreciate what I had done. I would take my lunch with me, and not even, it was at the church, and mm-hmm. I never didn't leave during, like, from 10 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon. And,
they never gave you a reason, or?
No. It really hurt my feelings to see that I had worked several years mm-hmm. and been in charge of it and set it up and everything. It's more work involved than people knew there was. And then, I, of course, you don't get any credit for it at all. So mm-hmm. that's just one of those community jobs you do that you don't get credit for.
All right. So I guess it hurts even more when you do something for no pay and
yeah,
no credit,
right.
And then they
no credit, and then they give it, switch the job over to somebody else.
Oh, that hurts. All these quilt patterns are on the barns.
Yes, yes, yes. What about that?
What do you know about it?
That's kind of like a history. They have a certain pattern, uh-huh. and you have to go with that pattern. And if you get one put on your barn, it costs $200 to have it painted.
Who does the painting?
There's a certain committee that does that.
But you could put one up on your own if you wanted.
Oh, yes. I think this girl over here did.
Okay.
She's an artist, and I think she did her own.
And last quote. Tell me your deep, dark secret, and I will tell you mine. Oh, is that your deep, dark secret? Oh, well, never mind.
You really want to know a secret, or do you just get a chuckle?
Well, I mean,
you know, I am so honest with, I feel like I'm honest with myself and other people, you know, outside of like a weird perversion, I can't really think of something that,
well, do
know,
tell.
Yeah, no, it's just, there is none. I'm pretty boring. You know what, mostly, more than anything, I just don't want to spend time on stupid perversions. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, I look at like people's fetishes, or I won't look at them, but, and I'm like, how do you like even have the time to like do that stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm so interested in many, many things.
Yeah.
Like,
some of the equipment looks expensive to me.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. You know, and it's just like I had an opportunity to go to Vegas Tuesday, and it's to go to a convention, and it's just such a, I've been there once and it was enough, and it's just such a weird town. You know, that whole makes you feel dirty.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess when you think of secrets, I'm going, that's, I'm being judgmental, you know. Like, I didn't murder anyone yet. You know, it's like gambling. You know, I know so many people that buy lottery tickets, and it's just like, I don't get it. I understand, like, you know, it's all, like, put in $5 every so often, and we'll have a, and you have a conversation over, like, what would you do with all your millions? And that's what you're buying. You're buying entertainment. But when you really think you're going to win, or this is your retirement plan. No, I'm not kidding. You know,
that's pretty sad.
Yeah, 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 it's messed up.
Again, tell me your deep, dark secret, and I will tell you mine. Oh, is that your deep, dark secret? Oh, well, never mind.
It reminds me of how everyone is always comparing their experiences to other people's experiences, and they think that their stories are like the biggest, most powerful, intense stories. And then when they compare them with other people's stories, they start putting them all in this hierarchy of better or worse, or more intense or less intense, or all this judgment comes into play too. I don't think I have a big dark secret to share, if that was the intention. I have a health condition that surrounds my bladder, and I've been sick for like 11 years, and for many of the first years, I would try to reference it without admitting that it was bladder related, because I thought that was like a faux pas to talk about urine at all. So I would try to reference it in other ways, and I thought it was more acceptable to talk about pain than anything, you know, surrounding my pelvis. So I think that's interesting, actually, to think about it that way. And anyway, I reached a point where I just started putting that out there because it was kind of necessary. If you're going to deal with me, I'm probably going to interrupt the conversation to go to the bathroom all the time, and that just has to be on the table. I'm getting healthy enough that I'm really excited about not sharing that information at some point, but I'm not quite there yet. So I suppose that was my big dark secret for a while, was being in horrific pain all the time and feeling shame surrounding the source of it. And assuming that everyone had judgment about that. I kind of judged myself before they could judge me, I suppose. And made it a secret, even though it didn't really need to be one. Yeah, so now you can decide how that compares to your deep secrets. Good luck with that.
Again, tell me your deep, dark secret, and I will tell you mine. Oh, is that your deep, dark secret? Oh, well, never mind.
I don't know what my deep, dark secret is. I really don't.
You don't have one?
I can't think of one right now.
You should get one.
Oh, I should?
Yeah.
What would I do with it?
You know that you could run for public office if you have no dark secrets.
Oh, yes. And they dig them up whether you got one or not.
So maybe that's one way to find out if you have one.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your deep, dark secret, and I will tell you mine. Oh, is that your deep, dark secret? Oh, well, never mind.
That's great. That's classic. That's a beautiful joke. I'm thinking that the person doing the asking has definitely got something that they want to get off their chest, but they have to make sure that somebody else becomes complicit.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, if my deep, dark secret is I ran somebody over in a hit-and-run accident and never reported it, and they died. That's huge. If your deep, dark secret is you stole $20 from your dad's wallet when you were in high school, you're not going to think mine is okay.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. In our society, there are definitely different degrees of, like from the Judeo-Christian view and even Buddhism, the sins, mm-hmm. or things that are wrong or hurtful, how you want to put it. But, it seems like forgiveness is a virtue, like everybody's capable of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
But in our society, at least if you were watching TV and take that as some kind of reality, there's a few things that they seem never forgivable.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true?
No. I think everything's forgivable. And if I confess to you that I killed somebody in a hit and run, mm-hmm. and you can't forgive me, that's okay.
That's forgivable, I think, to society. Because it, you know, because it's, well, it's probably an accident. And
well, yeah,
sure,
if I went on trial, the question would be more of why didn't she report it rather
right.
than why did that
and
happen.
And it kind of, and this is something of how society is a little bit hypocritical. I mean, it depends, like, who you are. Like, if you're mm-hmm. some rich person, then also, well, then you're just guilty and you need to be thrown away.
Right.
But if you're just, you know, it depends on your story. I mean, that's why juries are swayed by someone's backstory. Okay, so for example, there are, like racism, if someone had ever had some kind of racist past, or of course child molesting,
right,
there are certain kinds of theft that are seen to be, again, like corporate crimes seem to be like unforgivable, whereas if a poor guy stole something from another poor guy, or you know, oh god, I can see that.
Right.
Why do you think this is? Why there's different degrees of, and is that a good thing?
Well,
or a bad thing?
No,
or?
I think it's a horrible thing. I think that I've always thought it was kind of nuts that people who kill cops get stronger sentences than people who just kill people. I could never understand, you know, you see it in yeah. you see it in movies or on the news, you know, oh my god, he yeah. killed a cop, he's really going down now. Why is that? What if he just shot an innocent bystander?
Right.
Why is it that, you know, if a pregnant woman accidentally got killed, why is she worth more than just a non-pregnant woman?
Right.
Why are 8-year-olds
worth more than an old man?
Than 17-year-olds.
Right. That's true. I think about the cops, they really throw the book at you. And I think the motive is so you won't kill cops. But it's kind of
right,
stupid.
But isn't the motive don't kill anybody?
Yeah, totally.
Isn't it just don't
I
kill?
I agree. Because it will come
murder
down on
is
you.
Murder.
Yeah.
I was reading a comment thread about a recent rape case. A lot of people were upset at what they thought to be a short sentence mm-hmm. for a rapist. And I
commented on it. I got into the discussion with the same thing I was just saying about, you know,
why are you dumb?
Why are cops? I'm just kidding. I know. Sometimes I just can't resist. Yeah. You just want to be part of it and kind of get stirred into it. You know, let's keep in mind that the women, the rape victim here, was a white, single, 20-something, educated woman, right? So she's, you know, pretty basic viewed from, you know, our social perspective. If she had been 12 years old, completely different sentence. Mm-hmm. If she had been a Latina hooker, totally different perspective.
Right.
Rape is rape. That crime against a 12-year-old, a prostitute, anybody of any race, is the same crime.
Yeah.
You know, a 88-year-old woman with Alzheimer's in a nursing home. Rape is rape. But they always grade. So yeah, tell me your secret and I'll tell you mine. Speaking of telling secrets, I was seeing a therapist a few years back. And
like dating one?
No. Okay. like talking. Going talking to my things out.
Okay.
Yeah. It was during a time when I really valued some help. And at our first session, I had had so much built up. I had had to wait. You know, I had, you know, tried to get in and be a patient, and I'd had to wait several weeks. And so I was just, like, really was so excited to talk to somebody. And this is what's going on with me. I've got all of these things that I'm bringing to the table. You know, transgendered father. You know, just let's
really?
Do it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Adopted little sister. You know, a history of these different things. And I was starting to get some pretty big ideas. I was, you know, kind of working on my own and starting to have a lot that I wanted to talk about. And so by the time I get into this therapist's office, I was just ready to download, you know. Here we go. Here's what I've got.
Getting your money's worth.
Yeah. So she took an approach, the therapist took an approach to say, well, have you ever been in therapy before? And I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, plenty of times. Well, when was the first time you went to therapy? Oh, well, that would be when I was 13 and I locked myself in the car and my dad called the cops and told him I was having a schizophrenic episode, and so the law says that you have to go to therapy after that. And okay. She's like, really? Wow. So I can see her start to make these notes, and so my credibility instantly starts going down, right?
And your confidence?
My confidence stayed the same.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, let's not bother with all that. I'm talking about what's happening right now. You know, like, I'm 30. I got problems. Yeah, let's old stuff, you know. I got new stuff right now. as we progressed, she had made several notes. And I noticed that she was looking at me in a way like she wasn't quite trusting me. I was doing some reading at that time. And I was asking her, have you read these Joan Didion essays? Because they're really taking me to some places that I need to go. And I've been thinking about, you know, I can bring you the book if you're interested at all. This one essay is so powerful. And she ended the appointment. And as she was looking to see when our next appointment was, she was flipping her calendar. And her calendar had photos on it. And one of the photos was an ancient castle in Estonia. And I had been there. I had had my photo taken right in front of this castle. It was a totally memorable place. I see it on the calendar, and I pointed to it, and I said, I've been there.
Oh, and she probably thought you were nuts.
She wrote in my chart that she thought I was a pathological liar.
Oh, I can see why she would put that, but, I mean, at the same time, I think
I'd had too much coffee that day. I'd had so much that I had, like, bottled up and really just wanted to.
You would hope she would give you the benefit of the doubt, but.
And it didn't work out. I mean, I went to her for about 6 weeks, and I eventually just got frustrated because she wasn't equipped to, you know, kind of, like, meet me where I was. And my mom, I talked to my mom about it, and she said, well, honey, she's just not smart enough. And I don't want to get into that, but it's kind of that, you know, tell me your deep, dark secret, and I'll tell you mine. Oh, well, that's your secret. Ooh, never mind.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's pretty much this therapist was like, ooh, What are we going to do with you? Do you want medication? I said, no, I don't want medication. I'm not nuts. I'm just having a hell of a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, I could see her as soon as I pointed to that calendar. I've been there. She just, oh, I'm sure you have. I bet it was
the way
really
you describe
nice.
It sounds like, you know, my works with loonies, and they will come up with stuff like that too. It is my favorite story she told me, because my wife is foreign, and this one patient walked up to her and said, blah, 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 blah. What? And she said, blah, 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 blah. I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm speaking your language. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
I've
yes.
been to your country, I think she said.
Well, I'll speak it right back to you. Blah, 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 to yourself.
And the source of the quotes? To pursue something you don't have can bring excitement, but to get rid of something you've acquired can bring peace. It is from Pan Chu, a currently still living philosopher on mainland China, whose book, Sheng Ming de Jiao Huan, encapsulates his thinking, which he calls the exchange of life. Next quote, you can accomplish much if you don't care who gets the credit. Well, this one, fittingly, I don't know who to give the credit to. It is often attributed to Bob Woodruff, the Coca-Cola CEO, and Presidents Harry Truman and Ronald Reagan. So I guess in keeping with the quote's theme, none of them are going to care if I take the credit. Yes, that's right, I said it. How do you like that? And last quote.
Tell me your deep, dark secret, yeah, and I will tell you mine. Oh, is that your deep, dark secret? Oh, well, never mind.
Obviously, these are lyrics from a song, which is called A Certain Slant of Light, written by Bill Maloney, and here performed by his band, The Vigilantes of Love, from their album Blister Soul. In the Corner, Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.